From WXXI News, this is Connections. I'm Evan Dawson. Our connection this hour is made throughout the city of Rochester with miles of what are called bike boulevards. The city created 20 miles of new bike boulevards last year, and local cyclists call them a game changer for commuting by bike in the area. The boulevards are part of a larger bike infrastructure plan for the city, which Reconnect Rochester says has improved over the last decade. So what is the state of bike infrastructure in the city? We asked the question in advance for Rochester Bike Week, which kicks off next week. And our team, Megan Mack, out on the bicycle, took a ride with Reconnect Rochester on Tuesday to explore miles of bike boulevards in the city. And we're going to bring Megan in to talk about what she experienced. We'll talk about the progress being made and the goals for this year's Bike Week next week. I'd like to welcome our guest, Jesse Piers, a cycling manager for Reconnect Rochester. Welcome back to the program.
Thanks for having me.
Susan Levin is a board member for Reconnect Rochester, founding organizer of the Rochester Women's Bike Festival, and a year-round car-free bike commuter. That's yes. Still true.
It is absolutely true. Still no car, not after 4 winters in Rochester so far.
Well, every week is just like this week, so yeah. It's easy for you.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, exactly.
This is like the best bicycle week of the year here. And Megan Mack, are you there? Can we talk to Megan too? Hello!
Yep, but I can't hear you right now because of a technical
We're
issue.
We're trying to work on
that. Come back to us as soon as we get that fixed.
We'll get back to that. Okay, because she's in through the glass here. So before we do that, let's talk a little bit about Bicycle Week. Bike Week is next week, kicks off on Monday. It's technically May 13th through the 22nd. Can we ask you to kind of tell us a little bit about what it is and what's planned here?
So it kicks off Friday. We always do 2 consecutive weekends with a week in between. So Friday, May 13th through Sunday, May 22nd. And it's just a chance to celebrate bicycling, to welcome new riders, draw attention to the progress that we've made over the last few years and to show newcomers our very welcoming bike community. So it's always fun.
Anywhere people can learn about what's going on online? Is there a way to do that?
ReconnectRochester.org/bikeweek has the full schedule, and there's a lot of events there to check out.
Okay. And it's the 13th through the 22nd here, but for newcomers, let me ask both of you, for newcomers here, a big part of this conversation about bike boulevards this hour is about just, you know, what the state of infrastructure is, the state of the culture, all of that. How do you feel right now about newcomers, and what's the message you both would have for them? Jesse?
Well, I'm excited at the progress that we've made. I do consider the new bike boulevard network that was unveiled last year to be game-changing. It really is possible now to get around much of the city along low stress, traffic-calm streets where cyclists are prioritized, and that bike boulevard network is only going to get bigger over time. But I'm really excited to draw attention to what we've got.
Susan?
Yeah, I would say for newcomers, just get out and do it. Find a bike. There are lots of places to get new or used. And when I first got here, I came here by Amtrak to look for an apartment and put my bike on the train and just pedaled out and explored a couple neighborhoods looking for rent signs. I did find a couple of the bike lanes, which now led me to the apartment I live in right now. And there's a lot of great infrastructure. The drivers are much calmer than what I was used to. And so it was much more comfortable to be riding around.
Well, producer Megan Mack has figured out the tech. You can hear me now.
I can hear you.
You can hear me now. So Megan is someone who was out with Jesse, and David Strever from WXXI joined the ride on Tuesday, right?
Yes, David is our relatively new digital content manager. He came to Rochester from Virginia. He's a big cyclist, big fan, and he was interested in learning about the bike boulevards as well. So Jesse was nice enough to take us out. We did about 8.2 miles, if I'm remembering that correctly. I'll share a map on my Twitter of our route, but We started here at WXXI. We'll have a lot to share regarding State Street. I know Jesse has some thoughts on that. But yeah, we talked through a lot of different things, and we used bike boulevards most of the way. And what I really didn't think about, and Jesse reminded me after the ride, is that we were riding in rush hour traffic, but it didn't feel like that at all. I think we waited twice at a light maybe, and there was very little traffic on the boulevards where we were. It was great.
So let's play a little clip of sound here from the ride. Now, this is Jesse from the ride, and the reason
yes.
we want to listen to this is, if you're wondering, we keep talking about what's a bike boulevard. Let's listen to Jesse from that Tuesday ride.
So what makes a bike boulevard a bike boulevard is it's a place where bike traffic is prioritized. And I'll tell you a funny story. For instance, I live in North Winton Village. And there's a new bike boulevard from the market all the way to Tryon Park, which is wonderful because I can get with my kids to the market anytime I want in a low stress manner. And so they put speed bumps to slow down car traffic. They put clear bike markings on the street so motorists know that that's a route, you know, for prioritized for cyclists. And then the last part, which is the part that's delayed at the moment, is that wayfinding signage for cyclists. You know, Tryon Park, 5 minutes this way, Public Market, 2 minutes this way. And it'll be, you know, world-changing when that's up. But I overheard some neighbors of mine complaining the other day. I was listening into a neighbor's conversation, and they said, oh, those new speed bumps on Garson. I don't even drive on Garson anymore. It sucks. And I had to keep myself from laughing because that's the exact point. Is it supposed to slow down or even deter car traffic at all? And it, you know, from that conversation, it absolutely works. You know, you cannot speed along those streets if you don't want to do damage to your car. So cyclist traffic is prioritized, clear markings, clear signage for cyclists. And I'll be the first to tell you, and the city would admit this as well, but bike boulevards, trails, and infrastructure on, you know, primary busy arterials, they're all supposed to complement each other. They're not, you know, substitutes for each other, but over time, you know, they're supposed to create a network. And we're making our way there. We have a lot of network gaps now, which will hopefully be closed over the next few years. But long term, they'll all work together to form a usable bike network.
All right, back here live with Jesse. I love the idea that drivers are complaining about this. You got to slow down over these bumps here.
Oh, I had to stop myself from laughing when I overheard it. That's
no,
the
I
point.
I was laughing. Now, producer Megan Mack explained something to me. One of the notes I have from you is that these are known as the bike network no one knows about. I mean, did you know about some of what you saw, or was a lot of this new to you?
A lot of this was new to me. Well, I'm new to road biking, but that's a phrase that Jesse used, and he put together some information that we can share on our podcast page with the network. And the city of Rochester also provided us with some documentation about that. But for people that are new, you may think of a bike route as maybe that green lane that you see mm-hmm. in the street. It's not that. It's the street. There are sometimes those speed bumps that Jesse mentioned. There's painting on the ground that shows the image of a bicycle. Jesse can explain it better than I can, but they just blend right into the city street in some case. And I've driven on them in my car and never really thought twice about it. I thought, oh, there's that image. But it really took me being out there on the bike to appreciate it as much as I do now.
Why is it, Jesse, the bike network no one knows about?
Well, I think it's brand new, for one. And secondly, the final piece to this bike boulevard network is wayfinding signage for cyclists. And like many things, it's on back order. There's a national shortage of steel poles and the rollout metal signage that it's already been determined what these signs are going to say. But there's just a delay of several months with the signage. So it's like, when is this bike boulevard open? I would argue it's open now. It's just the signage is going to be better later. But no ribbon cutting or anything like that, which is why people don't know about it. But I'll go on a soapbox anytime to talk about the bike boulevards because it's very bikeable now.
What have you seen with these, Susan?
You know, I am noticing more. I was on the committee to help figure out some of the wayfinding signs, and there was many that we proposed. And then as I looked around again, and I'm still a cyclist, I started to see them now. And there are a bunch even in my neighborhood that I hadn't noticed before because I just always knew where I was going to go. I didn't need to have the signs help tell me how to get there.
Well, I want to mention that the city of Rochester could not participate in the conversation today, but they sent some notes. They want to make sure people know that they say the city is committed to supporting a low-stress bicycling network. Boulevards are one of three strategies that they use to achieve that goal. Once complete, the bike network will be one of the largest such networks in the country. The network spans all four city quadrants. These boulevards are relatively inexpensive, they say, to make happen, and they're trying to leverage existing infrastructure and make modifications to improve use for bicycles. And once again, as Megan mentioned, we'll try to share a map on our podcast page so you can see a lot more of what we're talking about. But no big ribbon cutting, and maybe not as much signage as there will be eventually, but they are here. Now, the one sort of exception to the ease and the joy of Tuesdays, Megan Mack, was State Street?
State Street. Yep. Jesse has lots of thoughts about that.
should we listen to some sound first?
Yeah. I want to add before we listen to that I live in Shalott, so I can easily bike to work. If not for Lake Avenue, I am terrified of biking on Lake Avenue, and I can take part of the Genesee Riverway Trail up to a certain point. But it was during this ride that Jesse showed me how I can use the boulevards to make that ride safer and easier and not be afraid of Lake Avenue anymore. So we can talk about that too, but this was very educational for me.
Okay, let's listen. This is from State Street, right? That's what the sound is, Megan, that we're about to hear?
Yep, that's it.
Yeah, so State Street is not fun. I believe that someday we could have a bikeable State Street. We're just not there yet. If you look at the 2034 plan, which is supposed to be guiding development, you know, it very clearly states that it should be traffic calm and made bike friendly. Right now it's a highway and there's just no need for it. But the good news is that Plymouth, which is right here, is essentially a bike boulevard that goes all the way up to Kodak Park. And so I've actually had friends that or people who have come on our bike rides that said, Jesse, you know, I want to go from the city up to Kodak Park and I want to avoid State Street. How do I do it? And the great news is that, you know, they're going to have a bike boulevard here that's parallel to State Street. You don't have to go too far out of your way and it's traffic calmed and it goes all the way up. So it's great. And the bad thing is that in regard to the bike boulevards, there's a national shortage with signage. Even like the metal poles, exactly like this, it's supply crisis around the world at the moment. And so last year, the city made 20 new miles of bike boulevards. They traffic calmed them. They put the Shero bike paintings on the road. But as far as the wayfinding signage for cyclists, it's going to be some time till it's up because there's a national shortage. They can't do anything about that. So it's kind of like this, well, when do you do a ribbon cutting for the bike boulevards? Do you have to wait for the signage or is it bikeable now? I don't know the answer to that. But the good news is even if you take the routes that they're going to do bike boulevards in the future, you can bike all over the city. I mean, that's the great thing. If we were an entire city of cul-de-sac neighborhoods, that would not be possible. But because we have like grid pattern, You can ride your bike parallel to busy, intimidating arterials and get where you need to go for the most part.
So the State Street issue, I just want to make sure I understand here. Is part of State Street, is it a bike boulevard? It's just not a safe one? No, it's not.
No.
Okay.
No. So it's Plymouth, parallel.
Plymouth is the bike boulevard.
Yeah.
State Street is the not-so-friendly place. Okay. So that's high on your list. Susan, are there other places that you go, as much as you're comfortable bicycling, you don't like being here, someplace in the city?
Well, so I do work at on West Avenue every now and then, and I used to take Main Street pretty much straight there since it was a straight shot, Main to where it cuts off over. And then somebody showed me the bike boulevards, which is when I first noticed the sign that go down through the neighborhood there. And I don't even know the names of the streets because I just follow where the signage goes. And then it comes up behind the Phyllis Wheatley Library, and then I'm home. So yeah, it was really game changing.
Listeners, if you want to share thoughts about your own bicycling experiences, if you've got questions, comments about bike boulevards or the infrastructure that you see or don't see, you can call the program. It's toll free, 844-295-TALK, 844-295-8255, 263-WXXI if you're in Rochester, 263-9994. You can email the program, connections@wxxi.org. Megan Mack, what else did you sort of experience on that ride?
Well, I mentioned to Jesse before we started out that I ride with a group on Tuesdays, and the last couple rides we've gone through Brighton a few times, a lot of potholes. There were some in the city too, a lot of glass in the road. And I was mentioning that to Jesse, and he said he's had a great experience calling 311. And Jesse, correct me if I'm wrong, but you said the next day the issue that you had called about was fixed in many cases. So I think it sounds like the city is being very good about hearing some of the concerns and working to address them.
Can you talk a little bit about that, Jess?
Yeah, whether it's potholes or glass in the road. You know, I kind of mentioned to Megan the other day that in my experience, that stuff tends to be the worst after winter ends and before lilac season begins. That's just when there's the most potholes and glass out there. But what I did say is 311 is very responsive here. Anytime that I've called into 311 about a pothole or glass, within 2 days max, it's usually fixed by then. So we have a good system, and you know, it's just it's on residents to report those things.
What else, Megan, did you experience in terms of the interaction with drivers, motorists, et cetera? How was that?
I was just going to mention that. We had a great experience. People were, they were complimentary. They were waving hello. We were in some really lovely neighborhoods.
I mean, they know who you are. You're a bit of a celebrity.
No, nobody knows who I am. They know who Jesse is, though. We went through the public market and Jesse got stopped by some friends. But I think that experience was really positive. On the other hand, when I rode with the group after that, my group that I meet with on Tuesdays, we had a couple drivers yell at us, hurry up, get out of the way. So I'm sure it's all over the place. And our colleague here, Brian Agnello, who also was part of the group on Tuesday, he says his experiences are all over the map. He's had some really terrible ones. He's had some really great ones. And I'm sure that's true for many people. So I don't want to overgeneralize and say everything was great or everything wasn't great. But I think that we're learning as a city how to interact more with cyclists and cyclists with drivers. And Jesse made a great point, too, about if you are a cyclist and you're involved in a crash or there's the danger of becoming involved in a crash, there are things that you can do to create a better outcome for yourself. And Jesse, you said it's not victim blaming, but there are some things that you can do and learn. And there's a whole education component that's missing right now.
Yeah, I'll go on this rant. So, you know, many cyclists can kind of put the Netherlands and Denmark up on this pedestal. And it's because, yeah, I mean, they do create some of the best bike infrastructure in the world. But I always counter that by saying that they also teach kids how to navigate traffic, like right after they learn to walk. And so, you know, I don't think we'll ever be at the day that the infrastructure is so awesome that no bike education is required. I think there's a handful of, you know, traffic negotiating skills that everybody should learn on their bike, particularly when they are children. And for what it's worth, I think I've drawn attention to this before, but it's New York state law for school districts to teach, you know, bike safety, how to negotiate traffic on a bike, and very few do. So if we were just to, you know, really low-hanging fruit, teach these skills to kids, I think we would see more riders. I think those kids would grow up to be, you know, licensed motorists who respect cyclists' right to the road. But bike infrastructure and motorist education, bike education, these all go together to change the culture.
You want to add to that, Susan?
No, Jesse does a great job. He also runs classes on this for adults and for kids. Mm-hmm. And I just was thinking about when I was learning how to bike, and then I didn't bike for 20 years. And then now I'm back. But the one thing I would also say is I signal all the time. I signal left turns, right turns, and stops. And I feel like generally that really, it at least makes the drivers notice me more if my arm is outstretched by another 3 feet. And, you know, I feel like I just get a little bit more respect and therefore makes it a more pleasant ride.
I want to add, I've learned a lot of those signals, Susan, from the group that I ride with. I'm really grateful to have this group. They're called the Wheel Women of Tryon. And I'm new, as I said before, so I'm learning from them. It's been really nice and comfortable for me to ride with a bunch of other people because I'm timid. I'm nervous still. And I should take one of the classes at Reconnect. Jesse, I think you mentioned when we were outside the station here, only about 12 people are signing up per year or something like that.
Yeah, I would love to teach many more classes. But the reality is if I teach three, you know, 2 hour bike classes at the public market every year and I get three or four signups for each of those classes, I consider that a success. I would love to do it more.
How do people sign up?
ReconnectRochester.org. We have three different dates this summer, so people can choose a class that fits their schedule. And I'll just say that when I got back on a bike in 2012, I was intimidated as well. I'm a very non-confrontational, shy, risk-averse person, and I was riding on the sidewalks uncomfortably, and it took taking a two-hour class at the Rochester Brainery that a friend of mine taught that totally changed my trajectory, and it totally just boosted my confidence level, and I've been biking ever since. So I suspect that's true of a lot of people, just a simple class.
Are you saying we shouldn't be biking on the sidewalks?
I'm saying there's opportunities to bike on the side. I would never bike on the sidewalk from one neighborhood to another or one part of the city to another. But for short-term maneuvers, I think it's fine. And as I was telling Megan, there's things that you can do if you choose to ride on the sidewalk. Please look over your shoulder before you go across a crosswalk. Because even if it's a motorist's fault when they turn across your path, you know, you should still be vigilant and maintain some traffic awareness.
Now, we had a phone call. The call dropped, but Joseph in Rochester was calling to say he thinks cyclists need to be educated because he has been hit by a cyclist several times. He's concerned about maverick riders. Are you a maverick rider, Susan?
No.
Have you seen maverick riders?
I have, and I get smoked by them, too. I wonder what Joseph's mode of transportation was at the time he was hit, either. The issue with riding on the sidewalk is also the cross-section with pedestrians. And it's the difference in the speed differential that really makes the big difference. There's a mode of travel by bicycle that's vehicular traffic that bicyclists must follow. People riding bikes must follow the laws of the road, you know, stop signals and all that. But it's still not necessarily comfortable for everybody. And as I would just say, if you're going to be on a sidewalk, which I tend to avoid because of all the pedestrians, first thing, slow down, which I think should be for motorists as well.
Okay, fair enough. Maverick riders, Jesse, are you concerned about them?
Not so much. I mean, there's a reason that motorists have to be licensed, and it's because of the damage that their vehicles can do. They're operating, you know, steel and gasoline at high speed, and it comes at an enormous cost to society and the damage that it does. Cyclists don't do that, and let's not put obstacles in the way of the ways of transporting people that benefit society the most.
Yeah. Joseph, I would just say no one should be out of control, car or bicycle or runner or otherwise. Bicycles do less damage, but I am not trying to minimize your experience. And certainly everyone should be kind and aware and follow the rules. And part of that is, that's part of why Jesse is saying, sign up for classes if you're going to be on the road more. You're going to try this more. That's a great idea. The email address is connections@wxxi.org. One other question on bike boulevards, Megan Mack. So if people are just joining us, bike boulevards comprise, you guys did 8.2 miles, right?
8.2, yep.
But that's, I mean, what, 40% of it? Because there's 20 miles of bike boulevards now, is that right?
Yeah, and I should mention now is as good a time as any, but on Wednesdays this summer, Reconnect Rochester does rides with Exercise Express and the city's recreation department. And the goal over the course of that Wednesday summer ride series is to familiarize residents with this bike boulevard network. So literally over the course of the summer, if you attended every ride, you would bike over every mile and see how they all connect to each other.
All right, so what I was going to ask, Megan, in this is your first time being out on these bike boulevards, and I understand that the signage is not in and that that's going to be coming, but apart from the signage, how much was it different? How much did you feel like I'm on something that really is, you know, unique for bicyclists and designed for this and really effective?
I don't know that I thought about it in that directive away. I noticed the markings on the pavement, but honestly, we had such a great tour guide with Jesse that I was just following him. So I had an advantage that most people don't. I think if I were out on my own, it might be difficult to try to find the connections because we're missing the wayfinding at this stage. But once you know what to look for and you're observant, I think it's possible.
Was there enough space to feel safe?
Oh, yeah. We didn't have any issues with traffic at all. As I mentioned, we went during rush hour and it didn't feel like that. We were never close to cars. We moved at speeds and we waited in traffic and everything felt very easy.
I know you said it's your first time on these bike boulevards, but you're also someone who, you know, you'll run errands on a bicycle, right? I mean, like you're someone who's maybe not bicycling 12 months out of the year like Susan. Or Jesse as well, of course. But you do some of that already, don't you?
A little bit. Yesterday, I went to the grocery store from my house, and I used a bike lane around Dewey Avenue, and then it ended, so I had to use the sidewalk because traffic was a little too much for me, and I got scared. I need to take the class. So there were some points where I rode on the sidewalk, and I wish I didn't feel like I had to. But for the most part, no issues. I think it was maybe 7 miles total. It wasn't bad at all. It was a nice, pleasant ride.
What would it take for you to feel comfortable on Lake Avenue, and why do you think everyone on Lake Avenue has lost their mind?
I know you drive on Lake Avenue a lot, too.
I know. I'm on Lake Avenue all the time, and I'm like, what is happening here?
I don't know. I love Lake Avenue. I grew up in Shalott. Lake Avenue is part of my life experience, but I'm just not ready yet, and I admire all the people who are doing it.
Okay. I'm with you. I love it. I want to see it successful. But yeah, there's some interesting things that happen. And Jesse had a knowing look when you mentioned, Megan, that there was a brief moment yesterday where you went up on the sidewalk just because you're a little nervous. I imagine, you know, those are the appropriate moments for sidewalk riding, right? I mean, like, it's like, hey, if things are a little dense and really tight and feel a little hectic, okay, reasonable.
Right. I mean, we're not like Buffalo. To my knowledge, it's illegal in Buffalo to ride on the sidewalk at all. That used to be the case in Rochester long, long ago, but it's not that way anymore unless you're downtown. I mean, you are allowed to ride on sidewalks outside of downtown. It might not be as safe as you think it is. It's no substitute for just looking over your shoulder whenever you go from one sidewalk to another. But you do have that right. And, you know, I would never advise sidewalk riding from one part of the city to another. But, you know, for short-term maneuvers, yeah.
Anything you want to add on sidewalk riding, Susan? Yeah.
Yeah, I get yelled at every now and then by drivers who want me to, you know, drive on the sidewalk.
They say, get on the sidewalk.
They absolutely do.
Get out of my lane.
And I say, it's legal for me to be in the street. Thank you.
We should mention, Jesse, kids. If you are riding with kids, kids can ride on the sidewalk. It's not illegal for that.
Correct. Yeah. So kids, if they're riding by themselves, have to, you know, according to the city code, ride on the sidewalk. Kids are allowed to ride on the sidewalk downtown. That's one of the exceptions that the city council chose to make, which is a good move. And I believe it's been a while since I looked at the code, but if I'm biking with my kids through downtown, I think I'm allowed to use the sidewalk then as well when I'm with them downtown.
And when you're saying kids, it's under 12 years
under
old,
12,
is that right?
Yeah.
Under 12. So let's take our only break of the hour. And I've got some feedback from listeners to work through as we talk about the state of bicycling. Bike Week kicks off on Monday, May 13th through May 13th. I guess it's kicked off now. It's now? What is today?
Monday. Starts Monday. Today's. Oh, wait.
I don't know what day.
You're right.
I do not know what day it
Jesse,
is.
Jesse, when does it start?
Kicks off tomorrow.
Tomorrow. My gosh. I keep saying Monday.
It's been a long week.
It's May 13th, which is tomorrow, through the 22nd. So next week's the full week of Bike Week. There you go. But Bike Week is coming your way. A lot more at reconnectrochester.org. There are cycling events for all ages and skill levels. They love seeing people. And this has been a glorious weather week, and next week's going to be great. They're trying to help you feel comfortable on the bicycle, answer questions you have. And part of what we're talking about this hour is also the changing state of infrastructure, with the city of Rochester adding 20 miles of bike boulevard around town. And bike boulevards are you know, something that we're all getting used to, and I hope a very good way. But if you've got thoughts to share on all this, you can call the program. It's 844-295-TALK, 844-295-8255, 263-WXXI if you're in Rochester, 263-9994. You can email the program, connections@WXXI.org. I'm Evan Dawson. Friday on the next Connections. Is this the end of cryptocurrency? Probably not, but Bitcoin and other forms of crypto have lost nearly 60% of value in just a few months. It looks like a crash. What's behind it? And how will it affect the economy at large? We'll talk about it Friday. Welcome back. This is Connections. I'm Evan Dawson, talking about bike boulevards, the state of bicycle infrastructure, and Bike Week technically kicks off tomorrow. There is a light up the night ride. Susan Levin, what's going on? Susan Levin, what's going on tomorrow night? And that you're leading this ride.
Right. I'm one of the group that's organized this and leading it. It's about a 2.5-3 mile family ride first, and then another 8 miles of more street. So the first part is all on trails. The second part is trails and part roads.
You're starting where?
Starting at Genesee River Park, and by the pool, it's by the parking lot there. We're gathering at 7 to, you know, bring your lights, bring all the glow sticks, bring your electric vests. Then kickstands up at about 7:45, and then it's just going to be a fun group ride. It is no drop, which means we ride as a group, and nobody gets left behind.
Okay. So if you're part of the group, you will stay part of the group. No worry
right.
about that. How many people can you manage in a group like that?
depending,
we'll find out.
Yeah, we will catch them all. There might be one or two red lights that we have to wait for till they turn green, and then the group will wait on the other side till everybody gets through safely.
Okay, what's the allure of a ride like this to you?
It's a lot of fun. It's the lights make it very exciting. As a group, we kind of get noticed. And part of the route will actually be near the Lilac Festival. So that'll be, you know, good attention drawing that cycling is fun. And if you are not, if you are nervous about riding and even on the street side of it, a good way to start is with a group ride. And there are plenty of group rides available, the Wednesday night rides that Jesse talked about. This one you can search on the calendar at reconnectrochester.org for different group rides as well. But it's a great way to start and get more comfortable. At least some of them are on streets. Also, we'll have a couple of techs there, I think, to make sure that, you know, we can't do a full tune-up for sure, but we can make sure your tires have air.
Okay, so if you want to get there between 7 and 7:45, 7:45 is kicked, stands up, start of the ride.
That's true.
But you can get there starting at 7 o'clock tomorrow night. Again, where?
At Genesee River Park by the pool at the parking lot.
And the Peloton will not drop you.
It is not a Peloton. It is just a group ride.
I'm just showing off my bicycling knowledge. that's going to be a great time there. What else is happening? Can I ask both of you kind of tell us a little about what you're excited about for the next week here and some specific ideas here? Jesse?
Well, I'm excited for my bike class at the public market, and we could still use a few more students on Tuesday, May 17th. So if you like the idea of getting more comfortable on your bike, go to reconnectrochester.org, sign up for my class. But I can't pick favorites. There's so many great riding groups here, so many great bike rides from the 13th to the 22nd. So check out the schedule at reconnectrochester.org/bikeweek.
Anything else stand out to you, Susan?
Yeah, on Friday morning, a week from tomorrow, we're going to have our commuter pit stop. And that will be, we'll be giving out breakfast bars and coffee to bike commuters or anybody who stops by.
Stop by where?
Location.
East Avenue and Union next Friday.
Yeah, morning. Watch for the Reconnect tent.
All right, very cool. And something Megan Mack wanted to bring up. Go ahead, Megan.
Oh, this is just a broader question about working with the city and the county. So a question for both Jesse and Susan as representatives from Reconnect Rochester. You've been doing work in the city for 10 years. How do you feel about the current administration and some of the concerns that you have about building the bike infrastructure?
Sure. I think we've made great progress over the last decade. I think it was 2011 when Rochester's first bike master plan was created. And I don't know any cyclists that would deny that we've made progress over the last decade. As again, I'm not content to remain at a bronze bike-friendly city. I want to see us reach silver, and we know definitively what those steps are to do. But I'm very optimistic. I hope in the short term that we can kind of close some of our obvious gaps in the bike network. If you haven't checked it out yet, go to reconnectrochester.org, and we have a Mind the Gap campaign. We nominated 10 pretty obvious gaps in the bike network that, if filled, we think would have a lot of value for cyclists of all ages and abilities. So voting is open till the end of the month, and whatever gap in the bike network wins in the voting, we'll prioritize that in our advocacy efforts.
Okay. We talked about the last 10 years. We've talked a lot on this program about bicycle infrastructure, and it strikes me that, you know, we should talk about these overlapping plans, a county plan. There's a lot happening. When you're out riding, most of your rides are city, right?
I'm on a lot of trails.
You still trails too? Okay.
Yeah. I'm not the best person to ask about that.
How do you feel on trails?
I love trails. I'm on the Genesee Riverway Trail a lot. I think it's a beautiful trail. It's easy to navigate.
So I'm glad you bring this up. I was on a hike a few years back at Abraham Lincoln Park. Is that what that is?
In Irondequoit.
In Irondequoit. Beautiful. But this dude comes, I mean, amazing, huge tires ripping through the trails. And I mean, steep. It was so cool. It made me want to do it. And then I was like, I would totally kill myself. But it looks great. When we think trail riding, that's not what you're talking about. Nothing quite so extreme, right? The river trail is not that extreme, is it?
No. These are paved pathways, paved trails.
So when you hear trail, it's not forest with huge roots and extreme, right? I mean, you could handle the river trail. Yeah?
Yeah, it's pretty much just any off-road. It'd be like the sidewalk, but in the woods. And they can be paved or not paved. The Erie Canal Trail is another great example. You can get all the way to Fairport really easily, have lunch, come back, that kind of thing.
Is Turning Point Park technically as part of that list?
On the Genesee Riverway Trail, yep.
Okay, yeah, that's that boardwalk, that beautiful. Oh, yeah, easy, easy. Yeah, that's great stuff that they have there. Occasionally just a few cracks in the road to bother you, but really nothing too bad here. So the city's doing a lot. How do you see the county's plan? How do you see some of the overlap, and how's it going?
Well, again, I think this is a landmark seminal year because you have the city about to create its first ever active transportation plan, and a component of that is updating the bike master plan that we've had. And this year also, the county is embarking on its first active transportation plan. So I do hear from a lot of cyclists that, let's say, for instance, that they live in Beechwood, but they work in the Marketplace Mall area of Henrietta. They can bike, in the city somewhat comfortably, but when they hit that border, once they get outside the city border, they immediately become uncomfortable. So it's our hope with the County Active Transportation Plan that municipalities around the city, county DOT, can get more on board with complete streets designs, and we can really start seeing greater connectivity overall.
What's the biggest, failing is not the right word, what's the biggest current need that you want to see addressed?
Well, I think it's time to talk connectivity. My hope for the short term is that we can at least get a fully connected spine of high comfort bikeways. I mean, we don't really have that now. Someday, the Riverway Trail will go through downtown along the river all the way to High Falls. But I just want to see some connectivity. If you go to the Genesee Transportation Council bike map, and it, you know, shows in certain colors the different bike infrastructure that we have, very little of it is connected. So I think we're in a position over the next 3 or 4 years to really just make some connections. And I would just love to see a viable east-west commuting trail to complement the north-south Riverway Trail. And if you look at all the studies that the city has done, whether it's the Comprehensive Access and Mobility Plan or the Bike Master Plan, we know what we need to do. Like, for the most part, we know where the demand is. We know where most trips are taken. We know that the average Rochester resident has a 4-mile commute to work, which is nothing. So it's just a matter of, summoning up the nerve, the political will to do this. And I believe that because of our beautiful size that we can.
What do you want to see, Susan?
So one thing that I'm excited to see has been I attend a lot of the town halls for things like the Rock the Riverway and the reconfiguration of South Ave and East Main. And they have really done a lot of work listening to the people on bicycles. We don't always get 100% clearly of what we would love to have, but, compromise is everything. But this is it. They've really done a much better job listening and including the wishes of people on bicycles.
It's great to hear. You agree with that?
Yeah. And before I forget it, everybody who's listening in, go to MonroeCountyCATP.com. Monroe County CATP, it stands for Countywide Active Transportation Plan. You can sign up for updates and submit feedback on how you want a more bikeable Monroe County.
Matthew writes and says, the increase in dirt bikes and ATVs has kept me off a bicycle, and I'm waiting for someone to step in and finally lay the law down with them. Matthew, it's interesting that Matthew brings that up because the weather's been so great. I haven't heard that many. Maybe you have, yeah? Okay, so
I've heard a few. Not as many as this time last year.
Okay, so that's why I guess that's the point I'm making is, Matthew, I certainly understand your feelings on that. I actually don't know. Maybe we should talk about this on the show tomorrow, Megan Mac. I don't know. I don't know how much has changed in the last year with enforcement on ATVs, dirt bikes, et cetera. I know last year we saw a lot of them for sure. We've certainly seen heard a lot of complaints, but I don't know what's changed. Does that deter you at all, or have you seen more when you're out?
No, it doesn't keep me. I get annoyed, and I have, but it doesn't keep me from going where I need to go by bicycle if there are dirt bikes out there. Mostly, I just hear them at night.
What level of enforcement do you want on that?
Of enforcement?
Yeah.
I think I heard Mayor Evans talk about that they're all going to be confiscated. And the feedback on that I heard is, well, we'll just go out and get more. Mostly, I just wish it wouldn't happen in the first place. I wish everybody, maybe it's an education thing, please understand what this is doing to your fellow neighborhood community people.
Okay. Jesse, concern for you at all?
more than anything, as a city resident, the noise gets on my nerves because I'm a early to bed, early to rise kind of guy.
Are you hearing it this year, by the way?
Not as much as last year,
okay,
by far.
And who knows? Maybe that'll change, but okay. Do you encounter out during your rides at all?
Never.
No.
But that's just me. I have a 1.5-mile commute, you know, so I can't complain too much. But yeah, certainly it seemed a lot more last year.
As a city resident, what kind of enforcement do you want on this?
I don't know. It's outside of my field. I don't know if Reconnect Rochester has a position on this. Like a lot of advocacy orgs, we're questioning whether enforcement with police is really the way to go. I have a suspicion that it's not, at least entirely part of the solution. But certainly people need to be educated about what those things are capable of doing, the harm that they can do to children, and the proper ways to ride them.
Yeah, Matthew, thank you for the note. We'll follow up with the city and ask, because I admit I haven't thought about it since last summer, to be honest. So, and I'm sure we'll start to hear and see more, and we'll try to get an answer for you on that. It's a sticky spot. It's tough because, as Susan mentioned, we talked to riders last year who told us take them away and we'll get more. You're right, and that's what you kind of hear, and so you wonder what kind of enforcement works. We also. There was a conversation a year ago about a dedicated place or a facility or something. I don't know if there's progress on that. So there's a lot for us to learn on that, Matthew, and we'll try to get back to that soon here. If you're just joining us, Bike Week is kicking off tomorrow. There's a lot of things happening between May 13th and the 22nd. And these bike boulevards that have been in place in Rochester for the better part of a year, 20 miles or so, we've talked about what's in place. What else? I mean, can everything, Jesse, become a bike boulevard? Where else can these, I guess, bike boulevards go in Rochester?
Well, I mean, everything starts with a plan. And if you look at the cities on their website, Bike Boulevard Plan, they potentially map out so many bike boulevards. And, you know, what I would say is because they're all parallel to arterials, they're bikeable now, even if they're not, you know, traffic calmed and wayfinding signage. I think, again, it's supposed to complement on-street infrastructure. It's supposed to complement trails. But if you're not comfortable biking along an arterial that's busy and intimidating, you're not alone. You can ride along these parallel, more neighborly bike routes.
A lot has happened in the last decade. And one of the things we continue to hear, and I just got another email, Angela talking about, amazing how many drivers think that bikes aren't supposed to be on the road at all. So this is an important part of a cultural point. I think it was Susan or Jesse mentioned that, you know, drivers will say, you know, get up on the sidewalk.
Yeah.
Why don't you get up on the sidewalk? You still hear that.
I do. It was I was pulling into a Dunkin' Donuts to get some coffee on my bike, and some driver behind me, we had a discussion in the Dunkin' Donuts about I should ride on the sidewalk. And I said, nope, it's illegal for me to be on the street. And, you know, thank you for not running me over.
Were they surprised? Did they say, oh, thanks for educating me. I view it differently now.
No, it got just on the verge of confrontational, and I took my coffee and rode away.
Okay. So if you are listening to this program and you're a driver who's not on a bicycle regularly and you encounter a bicycle on the road, the solution is not to say, get out of my lane and get on the sidewalk. What do you want drivers to think about if they have that mindset, Jesse?
I just want them to pass me at a safe distance as defined by Monroe County as at least 3 feet, and then they can be on their way. We're not slowing them down by any means. They have these accelerators that they can push with their foot. They're going to be just fine.
And in addition to that, you know, once they pass us, that's one less car that is now in front of them because I've been on a bike.
That's interesting. But if it's tight, if they don't feel there's safe passing space, they need to wait, right?
Correct.
True. Yeah.
And they're going to get to their destination at the exact same time that they were. So
they're going to argue that they won't, Jesse.
Oh, they will. And it's also, you know, it's also important while we're on the conversation to note that since 1887, cyclists in New York have had a right to the road. That's before cars existed. So cyclists have had a right to the road in New York State before cars were a thing. That hasn't changed.
Okay. Anything you want to add for motorists to be thinking about here, Susan?
Just remember that I'm just me, a human. I'm trying to get to work as well, you know, flesh and bones. And, you know, just because you didn't hit me doesn't mean you're necessarily a safe driver.
Yeah. I'm almost amazed that 3 feet is the standard. 3 feet's tight.
It depends on the speed. You know, other states do 4 feet, other states will define it as, you know, 4 feet if you're riding greater than 45 miles an hour, for instance. But, you know, in a city where it's 30 or, you know, 25 miles an hour, I think 3 feet is most of the time sufficient.
Okay. Megan Mack, want to jump back in?
I just remembered something Jesse sent me a week or so ago from 1895, an article that you found at the library that called Rochester a cycling center. And the text is very tiny, but I'll do my best to read it. It says, how Rochester is regarded in other cities, bicycling. Well, I can't see it, and that doesn't make good radio, me trying to make it out. But it's this very cool article. I'll try to find a way to share it. But what did you read there, Jesse?
I've got it right here. So Rochester was considered a cycling center in the late 1890s and early 1900s. There was a writer from the magazine Bicycling World that visited here, and he said, I think Rochester, New York is the greatest bicycle town in the country. A stranger visiting the city would think the whole place moved on wheels. And we've been great, and I think that we can be great once again.
That's from when?
1895.
A little bit of history there. And maybe surprising to some. That's cool stuff. JP says, I'd love to ride to work. I'd love to ride to work, but who wants to smell someone like that all day? Okay, let's talk about this. Do you ride to work? Susan's laughing. Do you ride to work?
Oh, my God, I totally do.
Okay.
First of all, don't speed. Go slow enough to not sweat. Change your shirt when you get there. Maybe put on a little extra deodorant. Find a place where, so sometimes if I'm, whatever my choice, I will ride on the trails instead of on the roads, and then I'm not smelling so much like fumes and city. It's absolutely possible. There's ways, bring, you know, wet wipes and wipe and just wash down a little bit when you get to work.
And you typically do have extra, like an extra shirt or something with you?
No, because I don't sweat on the way to work.
Okay.
I just go slow.
Okay, Jesse?
That's what I do. I just go slow. Or, you know, I do have an e-bike, and that's willing to do some of the work for me.
You have an e-bike?
I have two.
Isn't it like cheating?
No. It's both of my parents are still on bicycles because they have e-bikes. Otherwise, they would not be able to do. But that's what e-bikes can do.
Okay. So you could see Susan's reaction when I said that. I'm mostly kidding. I'm totally ignorant about e-bikes. So
let you borrow mine.
Let me just squeeze this in before the end of the hour. For people who see e-bikes, sometimes you hear them. You know, you're on a trail. Well, you hear like a little whir, and then I'll go, oh, I think that was an e-bike that passed. How much is the e part of it doing the work, and how much is the pedaling doing the work?
It's they have to be legal in the state. They have to be pedal assist. And they should be throttled at, what, 20, 25, 30 miles an hour, something like that. But, like, you can go faster without the motor part by yourself if you're, you know, that strong or good or downhill. But it's just like a little extra push as you're going. And, yes, you must be pedaling in order for the motor to engage.
Okay. Anything you want to add there?
Yeah, I mean, the e-bikes that are, I swear I saw an article last week that electric bikes are outselling electric cars, which is a really good sign because it just doesn't take a massive 3,000-pound vehicle to move you 4 miles, which is what the average Rochester commute is.
You have totally changed my view on e-bikes, so I appreciate that. And I love, by the way, that it extends the bicycling career for a lot of people.
Yeah, both of my parents ride only because they have e-bikes. There's people with, you know, hip issues or knee issues, or maybe their commute is too long or too hilly or too windy, and this allows people to bike who otherwise would not be able to.
I also want to mention that there's a rite of silence coming up here, and Keisha McCullough from Black Girls Do Bike asked us to share this specifically. The National Rite of Silence is Wednesday, May 18th. That's next Wednesday, 7 p.m.
Nope, 5:30. Oh, there's a pre-ride here. I see you looking through your packet, and this sheet that I'm holding up.
All right, correct me. When is it?
It's, you meet at Liberty Pole Way downtown here in Rochester, 5:30 to 7. So the pre-ride ceremony and on-site registration is at 5:30. Kickstands up at 7, masks required, helmets recommended. And that's from Keisha, Black Girls Do Bike.
Okay, but the bicycling starts at 7?
Yes.
Okay. That's next Wednesday. Thank you, Keisha. And thanks to everybody who shared some of the information about what's coming up with Rochester Bike Week. Starts tomorrow. You'll see Susan out tomorrow night for the Light the Night ride. Have so much fun with that, by the way.
Thank you so much. Yeah, I will. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Susan Levin is a board member of Reconnect Rochester, founding organizer of the Rochester Women's Bike Festival, and a year-round car-free bike commuter. Thank you for being here, by the way.
You're welcome.
Jesse Pierce, cycling manager for Reconnect Rochester, and apparently a very good liaison for riders like Megan. Thanks for doing that.
Have a great bike week. Get your bike out and have fun, everybody.
All right. And Megan Mack, Rob Braden, Julie Williams, Evan Dawson saying thanks for listening. We're back with you tomorrow on Member Supported Public Radio.